Welcome to the first Thursday of April, 2014. Friend, how you doing? It's Joey Kroll with you. Of course, it is Thursday, April the 3rd, 2014. So good to be spending some time here with you. How's the week coming along for you? You doing all right? You hanging in there? I sure hope so. Just lots of odds and ends in our home this past week's here thus far. Helped a friend do some moving, and that's a big deal for me because I'm more of an office worker than a laborer. So that was kind of interesting. I didn't pull any muscles, praise the Lord. If somebody asks me to help move, apparently they really have a need to help move some furniture because I am. That's not my spiritual gift whatsoever. But we do it anyways for the people we love. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sitting here behind the microphone today, and I have this neat little award that was presented to me on Saturday. I don't know if you were part of that. Saturday night, of course, was the Great News Radio Community Appreciation Concert. Steve Green, Twyla Paris. Fantastic night. It really was. Oh, praise the Lord. It was a great night of worship. It really was. It truly was a great night of worship. I remember hearing so many different people saying, they still got it. They are fantastic. And just so many different comments and a great evening of fellowship. But Mark Burns was on the stage, and he called me upon the stage and presented me the Great News Radio Broadcaster of the Year Award. So I have it here with me, and it was just so encouraging. My family, they're pretty excited for me, and got a nice little pat on the back. But I know, though, friend, everybody here that's part of this radio ministry, either as a paid staff member or even as a volunteer, we don't come to work today. We don't come to work any day for the awards or earthly awards that we get, or even the recognition. I love what John the Baptist said when his time was up. He said, all right, I must decrease and he must increase. Less of me, more of him. And that's the mentality that all of us here have, this radio ministry. More of Jesus, less of us. Amen. So, but nonetheless, thank you, Great News Radio, Mark Burns, for the nice little award. It's really nice. I have it. I brought it to the studio here with me today, but I'm going to put it up right on my shelf at the house and be reminded of my great, great family here at Great News Radio. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, lots of stuff happening this weekend in our listening area. Oh, wow, 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 wow. There's going to be a Relay for Life fundraiser in Fisher on Saturday. Also a yard sale fundraising event in Fairmont on Saturday. Annual Mother's Day concert in Urbana on Saturday as well. Priscilla Shire simulcast happening at the Windsor Road Christian Church in Champaign Saturday morning throughout the entire day as well. So lots of stuff happening this weekend. Truly, truly is lots of stuff happening as well. You can take a look at all the events happening this weekend and every weekend at the Great News Radio event calendar page, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. Well, coming up right after the song here, I'll play in a second, we're going to be talking about a biblical view on pain and suffering. Oh, it's a touchy subject, but what does the Bible say about it, and how should we look at pain and suffering, not only in our life, but in the world as well? Biblical view of pain and suffering coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. Why, God? Why? Since the beginning of time, people have asked why in the midst of suffering. In fact, author Lee Strobel cites a national survey that asked, if you could ask God one question and knew he would answer, what would it be? Well, the top response was, why is there pain and suffering in the world? Skeptics often cite the reality of suffering as evidence against the biblical view of God. After all, if God is loving but does not stop evil and suffering, then he must not be all-powerful, or he does not love. You know, friend, the Bible assures us God is both loving and all-powerful, despite the suffering and evil that are part of life. Although we can't always answer the why question about suffering in general or even individually, we know that God is all-powerful and he loves us. God meets us in our suffering. Amen. God meets us in our suffering. In Job chapter 30, verses 26 to 31, we're going to take a look at a couple of different passages in the book of Job. In verse 26 of Job chapter 30, it says, yet I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness. The churning inside of me never stops. Days of suffering confront me. I go about blackened, but not by the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry for help. I have become a brother of jackals and a companion of owls. My skin grows black and peels. My body burns with fever. My lyre is tuned to mourning, and my pipe is to the sound of wailing. This guy's having a hard time. However, things kind of change when you go move forward in the book of Job. Job 42, verses 1 through 6, it says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, in verse 2 of Job 42, it says, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You know, when God decides to do something, nothing, and I mean nothing or no one can stop him, for he created everything and everyone. Verse 6, it says that Job repented in dust and ashes. See, the people believed back then, or when they were in a sign of repentance or deep sorrow, they would sit in dust and ashes as a sign of repentance and deep sorrow. See, God allowed Satan to afflict Job with intense suffering that included the loss of a family, possessions, and health. Job cherished God more than these things, and he ultimately chose to trust in God's sovereignty and love. However, such faith did not come easily or instantly. In Job 30, we read that his longings for good and light were seemingly mocked by evil and darkness. He said, yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness. You ever have one of those days where you think, okay, I'm going to have a good day today. And once you set your foot outside the door, it all turns within just a matter of seconds. I hope for good, but evil came. He even faced inner turmoil in verse 27. It says, the churning inside of me never stops. Days of suffering confront me. Also, the glad music of his life, as we read in Job 30, turned to woeful mourning. Verse 31, my lyre is tuned to mourning and my pipe is tuned to the sound of wailing. You know, friend, what does this picture of Job's suffering teach us? One, it teaches us that all people experience suffering. Commitment to God and consistency of character does not exempt anyone from pain in this life. That's the hard news right there. That's the hard news right there. And our suffering is not always the direct result of our personal sin. It's not always the direct result of our personal sin. Suffering is a byproduct of living in a world corrupted by sin. Sometimes the evil we experience is the result of somebody else's sin. You know, Job was accused by his friends of having committed secret and terrible sins against God, for they believe only the wicked suffer. And Job proclaimed his innocence and cried out to God to tell him why God has turned on him. Job hoped for good, but evil came. He tried to get two steps ahead, but went three steps back. Job believed his ethical behavior would bring him good fortune. And you can find that in Job 29. Instead, misfortune blindsided him and left him churning inside his insides. Literally, his bowels thought to be the seat of emotions, churned like boiling water. Like Job, we find it very easy to expect good fortune to follow good deeds. Come on, God, I tithe, I give, I serve in the church, I attend church, I feel like I'm in the center of your will. Why is this going on? Has anybody else been there? Come on. However, that idea has been more in common with the Eastern concept of karma than it does with the biblical view of reality. Job was a man seeking to honor the Lord. Why then did he suffer? Right? Why did God grant Satan even limited power to inflict intense pain on one of God's great servants? You know, Corrie ten Boom, I love this quote that I have from her. She says, "However deep the pit, God's love is deeper still." I love it. You know, in Job 38, after all of this was happening to Job, Job 38 records what God had said in response to Job. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, 'Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know.'" Wow. Can you imagine if God kind of said that to you? Whew. See, God's questioning of Job in chapter 38 highlights the distinction between finite man and infinite God. When we are ambushed by adversity, it is normal and acceptable to ask God questions and to tell him we don't understand. However, in my opinion, it is never right for finite creature, that's you and me, finite creatures, to question the integrity of God. See, with questions, God illustrated the vast difference between a timeless God and a time-bound person. God's wisdom makes so-called human wisdom look like ignorance. And Job willingly admitted that he had obscured knowledge by speaking of things he did not understand that were too wonderful for him. See, Job heard about Yahweh, but much of what he had heard was wrong, like the idea that bad things don't happen to good and innocent people. He said, I love what he says. He says, "But now my eyes have seen you," he declared in awe. And Job extended his confession to include repentance. Suffering should draw us closer to God. Friend, are you suffering today? Are you going through a trial to the point where you are hurting, where you are questioning God, where you're in the fog, where things don't make sense? Is this drawing you closer to God, or is it drawing you away from him? Job repented of questioning God's goodness. See, after God spoke to Job, he was armed with a new awareness of God's character. Not only did Job admit his earlier flawed beliefs about God, but he also repented for them in verse 6. It gives us a picture of a biblical repentance, which involves a radical change in direction and perspective. So God's permission for the bad in your life does not necessarily mean it's the same as his approval. God's permission is not necessarily the same as his approval. Did you get that? See, God permitted Adam to eat of the forbidden tree, but he did not approve of the action. God allowed Cain to kill Abel, but he certainly did not approve of that. We also know that God has done everything possible to redeem us from the sin which would destroy us. He gave his one and only Son, who sacrificed his life for our sin and took our penalty. So all who turn to Jesus Christ in faith are saved. The sin in this world and horrors such as the Holocaust, September 11th, and everything else, all other events are a direct result of mankind's continued rebellion against God. And the blame for September 11th, the Holocaust, and other horrible tragedies lies squarely on the shoulders of sinful humanity. And all of that, all of those events was the product of sinful choices made by sinful men in rebellion against a holy God. God gives mankind freedom of choice. We can choose to follow him and take a stand for righteousness, or we can rebel against him and pursue evil. The problem resides in the heart of man. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Until man's heart turns to God, and I'm talking about mankind, but also as individuals too, the world will continue to witness bombings, murdering of children, and other horrible events due to the sin of man. And unfortunately, sickness and suffering, wow, is never an easy thing to deal with. When you look around and there's sickness and people are suffering, it can break your heart. But one thing is for sure, friends, sickness should not cause us to lose faith in God. It should not cause us to lose faith in him. God is good even when we're suffering. Can I get an amen? God is good even when we are suffering. God is good even in the midst of suffering. It may not make sense, but God is still good.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. Just the way it is. Thank you.
right, friend. Thank you so, so much for listening today. I hope and pray you enjoy the rest of your day. And remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.